Tonight we're talking about Stronghold Session 6. We've said this before, freedom often isn't something that we fight for. It's something that we're given in Christ. Now, battle does rage, but we're not fighting for freedom. We're fighting from a position of freedom. And that's why the identity message is so important. We all behave out of who we see ourselves to be. And if we do not see ourselves redeemed, loved, forgiven, empowered, we will always be trying to accomplish those things and not rest in what God has given us. And so it really comes back to believing the truth. Nothing's changed. But when it relates to strongholds, let's talk about that tonight. Like, what is a stronghold? What do you understand a stronghold to be when we use that term in our Christian lingo? Okay? Something that you feel like you can't get out of. What else would describe a stronghold?
Sin,
shortcoming, behavior you can't get out of. All of these are good. Keep adding to the definition. What is a stronghold?
Holds you back.
It holds you back, okay?
It's a way of the God's word.
Okay. An ingrained pattern of thinking that's contrary to God's word. I think culture, a lot of times we've grown up with the word addiction. And if you've ever had an addiction or been exposed to something, you can kind of understand this pattern in your life. And again, it is a pattern. A mindset filled with hopelessness that causes us to accept as unchangeable the situation that we know are contrary to the will of God. I think some of the key words in here are things that you guys have said. It's a mindset, but there's some hopelessness about it. There's some hopelessness about a stronghold or an addiction, or really it's a pattern that we form. One of the things, and I don't pretend to be, I'm not a psychologist. I didn't even take psychology 101, okay? So I don't even know. That we do have this autonomic system, right, that tells your heart to beat, you beat, you beat. You don't tell your heart to beat. It tells your lungs to breathe, to breathe, to breathe. It makes your body function, right? And it's automatic. The problem with sin patterns that turn into strongholds is that somehow they fuse with this autonomic system. And the chemicals in our body, the way our body behaves, truly, we would agree with the scripture that the sin starts to dwell in our flesh. I think the expectation that needs to be set is that when we long to break free of those patterns in our life that we've developed over time, these things become a part of that. Brokenness, grief, and suffering. Life is filled with suffering, and many of us suffer because of our strongholds. But I will tell you, to set the expectation, Jesus has set you free. But for you to break free from your body and to get free of any stronghold patterns that you've developed requires a process like this. Brokenness, grief, and suffering. You will suffer. You will grieve. There will be a season of brokenness. And people wonder, well, where does brokenness fit in the freedom message? It really fits in the fact that when you choose to believe the truth about who you are in Christ and you long for Christ to set you free, you need to be prepared for this. The cool thing is that Jesus is closer than ever. He's there for the brokenhearted. He's there for the downcast. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. His power is available to those who need it. But we need to understand sometimes to break free of the patterns that keep us bound, that we're going to be broken and there's going to be a season of grief and suffering. You're going to do these anyway if you keep our patterns up. They're already destroying us. But the point is, there is a path out. And I think a lot of people, when they start walking, asking God to free them from any strongholds that may hold them, and we're going to talk about different things tonight. We've got some case studies that we're going to split out and discuss. No matter which one that you may be struggling with or somebody that you know may be struggling with, there's a path out, but it is filled with pain. We've now, in this freedom teaching, separated our behavior from our identity, and we say, I'm no longer what I do. You know, I'm not an addict. I'm not a pornographer. I'm not a thief. I may struggle with sin, but that is not who I am. So once you separate that out, then you still have to deal with this behavior. And loosening the grip of those things on your life sometimes require process. We're going to talk more about, over the rest of the course, what that looks like. But freedom in Christ, walking in freedom, most of us can find a margin of victory from common sins that beset us all. But some of these strongholds are these deep patterns that have been developed. And those of us who grew up in the country, it's the old dirt road. And the analogy is if you drive the truck down the dirt road over and over and over, you develop ruts in the road. And after a while, the truck just drives itself. It drives itself. Nobody, you don't have to steer anymore. And as much as you may want to go in a different direction, the car kind of takes you down the same path. And so this is kind of the thing from strongholds. So let's look at one of the places strongholds mentioned in the scripture, 2 Corinthians 10. Paul is defending his ministry. This is very short and concise, what we're going to read tonight, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. But in it, he defends his ministry, but he also talks about strongholds in this one. Paul says in verse 3, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." There's the word. "And we demolish arguments and every pretentious or pretending thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." So he talks about demolishing these strongholds, and he talks about taking these thoughts, these pretending thoughts, captive. And in short, this is how strongholds are ultimately broken. They're broken through taking our thoughts captive, and they're broken, really, this concept is not about just capturing thoughts, it's about destroying or demolishing strongholds that are in our life. This may be repetitive, but I wanted to see this. Often we feel hopeless in our strongholds to change our behaviors. These mental patterns have been established a lot of times through giving in to temptation. And when we give in to temptation, strongholds are more deeply entrenched. I want to encourage you with this. If you have a stronghold, if you know anybody that has a stronghold, and you think God's getting tired of dealing with you, and God will not give up. He loves His children. He pursues us. It's unrelenting. And in spite of your sin, He never stops. Because He knows what He wants for you. See, freedom is in Christ. He wants you to have a relationship with Him. It's not the absence of the addiction. It's not the absence of the stronghold. Being clean and godless is not the answer. What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world, but he lost his own soul? What would you gain for that? The answer is nothing. Zero. And so, this is not hopeless, and we're not helpless in this situation. So how are these established? We're going to talk about these, and then we're going to break out into these groups. First of all, strongholds are established in environments. This is over time. Strongholds are developed over time. Like I gave the illustration earlier, the ruts in the dirt road, it's day after day, week after week. We may have grown up in homes where we're labeled as stupid or dumb or fat, or you're just like your mom, or you're just like your dad, or you're no good. And you hear that day after day, time after time, week after week. I personally believe that a lot of sexual labels, identity is formed when people are labeled. You may have a guy who's he's not a burly, strapping guy, and all of a sudden he must be homosexual. You know, he's gay. Somebody used the term fag, so now he's labeled. He's labeled. Well, what is he? It's self-fulfilling prophecy. They own the identity because they've been told that for so long, time after time, week after week, day after day, month after month. So these labels in our environment. One other ones I'll throw out there is financial. You grew up in a home where you didn't have enough. There was never enough. Mom and dad fought about money all the time. We won't have enough. What if we don't have enough? Got to work. Got to pay the bills. Where'd you do with that money? I don't have enough. And just growing this sense of insecurity around finances. And you find a lot of these people that have been shaped by this. You know where you find them? Not at minimum wage jobs. You find them as CEOs of companies. Got to go. Got to keep moving. Never had enough. How much is enough? The other one is traumatic experiences. This is what happens in a moment. Environment happens over time. Traumatic experiences happen in a moment. Strongholds can be established like that in a moment. And that comes from sudden deaths, divorce, guilt from abortion, rape. It could be any of those, but the intensity of the pain, it's like branding iron on a cow. It burns into us something. And that burning creates in us a mental pattern that's very, very difficult to break. And this is key. You know it's a stronghold? Not when you start it. It's not a stronghold if you drink a beer. It's not a stronghold if you watched an R-rated movie. It's not a stronghold if you, you know, went to the fridge at night and ate a little bit more. You know it's a stronghold when? When you try to stop. You don't know what's a stronghold when you're doing it. It's a stronghold when you try to stop. When you try to quit the behavior. When you try to let go, then you realize all of a sudden people start to panic because what they realize is they can't. It's no longer them, it's the behavior. And that's what a stronghold is. That's what a pattern is. I heard it described like this once. A man takes a drink, that drink takes another drink, and then that drink takes control of the man. And so what started out in one sense is being in control turned into this out-of-control behavior. And this could be applied in several ways. These are strongholds. If what you believe does not reflect the truth, then what you feel will not reflect reality. Many people are walking around believing things that's been burned into their mind in an instant or that has been developed in their mind and their thinking over time, and what they believe has formed a reality for them. It's not real. It's not God's revealed truth. It's not what's real. But what we know from that is that what they feel does not reflect reality. And you see this in deeply. We could draw an extreme here. We could say this is someone who's paranoid, schizophrenic, psychotic over here. And this over here is someone that's fully capable of themselves. We're all on this continuum somewhere. But I can tell you the further you get to the crazy side, the more these people are disassociated with what is real. The further you get down here, they believe things that are real. And a lot of that leads into that is suspicion. That's a simple thing. But they start to believe things. They go crazy because they're believing things that are not truly real. But the reason they do that is because of what they believe. It's what they believe. And this is why the scripture is so important. If we don't get a God view reality of what is happening, we will start to believe our realities are ourselves. We'll think our thinking is this or that or the other, and we'll get really confused. And so that's why it's so important. And next week when we talk about the battle of the mind, if you don't leave room, I've said this a lot of times, if you don't leave room for a spiritual battle, then the only person you have to blame when you think outlandish thoughts is yourself. Or you project that onto somebody else and say, well, it's them. You don't give any context for the fact that you are stuck right in the middle of a spiritual battle for your mind. It's self-defeating. Let's talk about temptation real quick. Where does temptation? Temptation is that draw, and I've said this before, to get us to live independently of God. Strongholds are reinforced when we're tempted, when we give in to temptation. And this is a key teaching. The feeling to lie, to lust, to covet, that feeling, that temptation that comes, is not a sin. It's not a sin to be tempted. Did you know that? The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every way. But if you've been tempted in any way, you feel something. You feel a draw. You feel something that's pulling you in, right? We all have experienced temptation. It's a common human experience. That's not sin, but many of us feel guilty for our temptations. Guilt develops over the fact that we're even being tempted at all, and often that guilt is used to continue to pull us in. It's used to pull us on into the temptation. So if you're being tempted by that, then you're no good, rotten, dirty, and it just guilts you right on into committing it. Well, since I'm you know, the Bible says if you lust after a woman in your heart, Jesus said you committed adultery. I might as well go ahead. No. Wrong. That's a whole other topic. But consequences of being tempted and committing sin are two different things. There's different consequences. Consequence to being tempted and not giving in to temptation, little to no consequences. Consequences to giving in to temptation, much consequences. Every temptation is an attempt to get you to get a legitimate need met in your life in an illegitimate way. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man, all of us, but God is faithful and will not let us be tempted beyond our ability, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape. Basically, we're going to talk the rest of the night really about what JJ demonstrated in a great way. unless you, what makes this powerful is not that she did this, but she owns this. This is for her. She's sharing her heart. And this is what she has, she talked about work. This is what she's wrestled over to try to maintain this margin of freedom and understanding that unless you, whatever your stronghold is, whatever your friend's stronghold is, until you understand to change the way that you think about your struggle, you're doomed to continue to repeat it. This is kind of what tonight's about. Again, next week's so important because we're going to talk about the battle for the mind, and really it's the crux. All of this happens here, right? Where's the spiritual war being waged in the room? Right here. Where is it being waged in the church? Right here. Where is it being waged tomorrow morning? When you get up in your mind, we take captive every thought, is what Paul said. And years ago, I got to looking at that, and I thought, every thought? You need to look at how you're thinking. Well, what about my Jesus and Christian thoughts? Yeah, those two. Because that's how Satan slips it in. That's how he did it with me. There are people in this room that care about you, no matter where you are. And a lot of them are sitting at the table around you. These strongholds only come out. The healing only comes when we confess our sins to one another. And the point of this is, if you need help, God puts people in your life for you just to be honest with and to let them know where you are and to know they can't fix you. I'm convinced a lot of people don't really share, a lot of church folks don't share what's really going on in their life for a couple different reasons. One, they don't know if they can trust people around them. Two, they're not sure if they shared with them that the person could really help them. And the reality is, Christ has the answer. We already have this. The blood of Jesus is sufficient, okay? It's enough. You know how bad, I've told you. You know how bad I am. You don't know what happened on the cross, right? I'm telling you, the Son of God is enough. But we have to walk out of the shadows. And again, when we come to strongholds, church, for the by and large, the most part, we've gotten really quiet and we sit over here and we're like, go get professional help. The Spirit of God, through the Word of God and the power of Christ, He is enough. That's what's led me here, because I thought, I'm telling you, where's my Bible? I lost it. If God, who created all of this, really wrote that book, if he inspired men to write this, if He really did that, where's the power? Where's the change? Where is it? And what I found is I completely had explained away really what's going on is that we are in a spiritual battle. And Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy everything in your life and wants to convince you that it's you and it's your family and it's the person sitting across the table and it's them. And all of those are lies. And Jesus came to set us free. We said the first night we had this class, Jesus looked at those who had started to believe in Him and He said, if you hold to my teaching, if you hold to it, you'll really be my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And they looked at Him and said, we're not slaves. Step one is going, I'm a slave. That's step one. And Jesus says, whom the Son sets free will be free indeed. It's more than get out of hell free. It's power to overcome the sin in our lives. Not perfection. It won't look, it's not going to be pretty. We're going to struggle and fall. But God doesn't give up. He never fails. If you seek to God to bring a great work in your life and to gain a new margin of freedom, Jesus over and over in the Scripture seems to use these agriculture parables, right? He talks about sowing, planting, and reaping, and harvesting. Planting and harvesting. And here's the thing we know about planting and harvesting. There's seasons. And what we know about that is that the harvest comes after the planting, and it comes later than the planting. Emotionally, where you're dealing at right now is what you've been planting over the last few weeks of your life. Don't get down when you feel bad. Just know that you've not been planting in the truth. You've not been reminding, and so what's growing up isn't feeling really good. And the emotional thing always comes later. But it can't change until you change the way you think. But most of us bail out because it's not a microwave. We're like, you know, I want that little thing that grows in a pot. You put the seed in overnight and you come back the next day and you got a tree. And it's not like that.
It's not like this. And there is a payoff if you will wait on the Lord, if you will find your courage in Him, if you will trust in Him, if you will allow Him the time and believe the truth despite what you feel, God will bring about changes in your life.